At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, bringing you another weekly look at the world of non-league football. It is Non-League Day weekend, and so we celebrate all that is great about non-league. To help us, we head south to Whitehawk FC, where their latest project, I hope, will inspire a whole new set of supporters, indeed a whole new generation of supporters, not only of Whitehawk FC, but also non-league football. I'm joined by three of those involved, not the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker so often used to sneer at non-league, but a poet, a visual artist, and a vice chairman. David Attree, David Strigley, OBE, and Mr. Kevin Miller, Whitehawk fans one and all, and big advocates for the magic of non-league football. Matt Badcock is on hand again from the non-league paper. There's an agglomeration of sports sites, managerial moves, and the business of football clubs all on the agenda, as he also plans a bumper read with a massive non-league day initiatives set to headline the non-league paper this weekend. Time then to sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway.
Non-League Day, a different way. A reason to fall in love with football again. No talks of VAR and shocking decisions. No slating, no derision, just pure energy. No all about me, no tribalism, just brilliant local dynamism, just a love of the game. The name, it's the same, it's still football, but the footfall, the fans in the stands, they form samba bands. They sing loud with the crowd's happy passion, fashion lyrics quick, create humorous tricks from the events as the game plays out. If there is a shout, it is usually of support, a player caught doing something that shows how much the game means. Non-league has dreams, of course, but all the teams know they are playing mainly with effort and for praise. I know, right? Heady days. Non-league brings these things to grounds. Grounds that slope left to right and up to down. A half-time turnaround that means you won't be as out of puff in the second half, actually having a chat and a laugh with opposing fans. Come along on March 22nd, experience it for the first time and you'll be making plans to come back. What does non-league really lack? Nothing. What does non-league mean? Something to be physically felt as well as seen. To have a little dance when a goal is scored. To never be bored and to never be scared. Never feel unprepared or threatened. You let in a new way of seeing the game. You never feel out of place. Never feel you can't meet a fan from the other team face to face and just talk about the game. Non-league, it is simply, brilliantly, uniquely not the same. There is something truly brilliant that I see every game, from the fans to the players to the board, regardless of the score. Those who some think may have less, always, always give more. Food bank donations, charities rattling a bucket, find coins or a note and chuck it in a pot to help people you'll never meet. A shuffle of feet at half time so you can take a seat behind the goal line at the other end. Songs sung constantly throughout the match. If you catch someone swearing, you remind them that the ground has a self-policed non-swearing policy. Honestly. Yep. True story. So this non-league day, come and find me in the stands. Make plans. Yes, this is a call to action, but if your heart has the same reaction that mine did when I went to my first Whitehawk FC game, you'll not feel the same about the game again. Because non-league offers fans a safe space, a place to see, hear and feel the game played in the right way. Find a game this March 22nd and I reckon you'll remember that date for a while. Because you'll suddenly find yourself surrounded by happiness, realise as you clap this is different. You're watching the game with a smile. face it, we need those at the moment, right? Or at least once in a while. A non-league match at White Hawk or anywhere else could be the best game you see and go to this year. There's a ground near to you. It will offer you a different view of football. Because non-league football, once you've found it, experienced it, you'll know it is brilliantly football for all.
Well, that was a love letter to non-league. Now, I've listened to it more than a dozen times already, and each time I do, there's another little bit that resonates with me that maybe I didn't quite grasp the previous listen, evoking memories. And I'm guessing that was the idea behind it all. And behind it all, and a gamut of, well, sensory masterpieces, experiential jewels, it's White Hawk FC. So it is a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show three great members of that team, the great minds, there's writer, poet, performer and ex-Premier League fan David Attrey, visual artist David Shrigley OBE, an old friend of the show, vice chairman at White Hawk FC, Mr. Kevin Miller. Most importantly, ahead of Non-League Day, three fans of White Hawk FC. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
How you doing?
I'm blown away, really. Can I just say, every year, White Hawk and Kevin amaze me. You amaze us all with something new. Every non-league day, we get innovative new takes on the concept, which helps snowball it all into something better. But this love letter to non-league from David A and the unique match day ticket, David S, everybody's going to get this on the 22nd of March, the match between White Hawk and Carl Shorten Athletic. Both of them, the whole concept really did blow me away. I mean, how long has it been in the planning?
Probably about three months. David approached us and said he'd like to do something. David A said, yeah, why don't we do something? We like put a poem together. We're working with a brilliant guy called Adam Burns and Paco Nunez at a company called Burns Creative, who've done some brilliant, brilliant work for us and kind of knitted it all together. JJ Waller, who's been doing all the photos for us and has been doing a lot of work with the club for many years and is a bit of a photographic legend himself. And it was just one of those things, let's see if we can put it together. We put a WhatsApp group together. We shared ideas. We put everything together. We got a nice timeline to make it all work. We released it early this week. And now we're seeing all the fruits of our labours. And hopefully, we'll get people coming down to the game on Saturday and experience what David A has been talking about.
Well, we all would have heard him in our ears by then. We'll come to that in a minute. David S, you've created the magical work, this artwork, souvenir ticket. Among the phrases on there, about singing songs, drinking beer and having fun. I can almost feel the T-shirts coming out as well.
Yeah. I'm aiming for a strap line there, definitely. It's not a particularly original idea to have an artist design the ticket, but I've done a few bits and bobs for the club over the years, and basically whatever Kevin asked me to do, I try and do. That's my policy. Because Kevin does so much for the club, he's been a real catalyst for so many great things, as well as us getting much bigger attendances than we have. So it's my duty to help Kevin when he comes calling. We made this match day ticket, which is perhaps a harking back to the days when we actually had paper tickets. Mm. To go to events like football matches, which I'm being a little bit obsessive compulsive, I have a collection of those things, and now I just collect PDFs on my computer.
they don't pin to the wall as easily, though, do they?
Yeah, I guess we wanted to. I really like the idea of match day tickets, and I've done one or two bits of artwork for various football causes over the years, but White Hawk's very close to my heart because it's so close, more than anything else, other than my other football sympathies, which are in Nottingham by the banks of the Trent, which is not so handy when you live in Hove.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you've obviously been awarded for your contribution to visual arts. Well, you're born in Cheshire, formative years in Leicestershire, I believe, alumni from Glasgow School of Art, now Whitehawk FC. That's not the usual pathway to non-league, for sure, but then non-league isn't about usual or conformity, and I think that's what you've grasped with this ticket and the whole, you know, thing for non-league day this year.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I feel my ticket is a very humble contribution relative to David A's wonderful poem, which has been set to video by our friends Adam and Paco. But yeah, I'm the visual art guy, I guess. I have to draw things and write things, so it's a pleasure to do it. It really is.
But all of you are so. I don't mean this derogatory. You're so Whitehawk because you're all so humble as well, because you're all so talented, and you just all sort of like come together as some sort of like little super collective of, you know, everything we can be proud of in non-league. You know, yourself, you've inspired what writings for lyrics used in pop songs, cartoons, national papers. You made pop videos, films. Now you're inspiring non-league fans, but most of all, I hope inspiring future non-league fans. Could this be the biggest thing you've ever done? And you've been on the fourth plinth of Trafalgar Square as well, but I just think this has got the potential to snowball like non-league day. We spoke to the founder, James Doe, last week. This could capture the imagination of those other people we wanted to get involved in non-league.
Well, perhaps. I don't know. It's like I say, I do what Kevin tells me to do. So,
Kevin's
the catalyst for it all. I think the great thing about small projects is, I mean, we're all involved in lots of different things, I suppose, charitable things and whatever we do. But I think the great thing about Whitehawk is it's on such a small scale that you can actually do a small thing and it actually resonates. And you can do something for your local community, and also in my case just embrace my passion for all football and non-league football. I never went to any non-league football until I moved to Brighton 10 years ago, and I guess in sort of later life I felt like, because I'm a visual artist, which is sort of slightly high culture, I've always sort of hid my passion for football. So anyway, that's I'm having a great time, and I'm fortunate to be involved in this. And basically, I get interviewed a lot about art as well. I get bored of the sound of my own voice, but I could talk about football until it's time to go to bed, basically. So I'm more than happy to do this.
Yeah, this is where I'm lucky. I can still talk about football and do other sort of more. Things that people think are a proper job, but this is a great show. This is a great project. David A, writer, performer, presenter, funeral celebrant. I've also read your story of aortic dissection, the transformative power of poetry to heal as well. I love that. We've all sort of heard Love Letter to Non-League. We've all seen the poster that's been around for years, parodying the famous opening to the film Trainspotting. But this is another level. I think I'm going to be citing elements of this for years to come. It gets me, you know, it understands me. I think that's the best thing about it. But I was trying to explain to somebody earlier today, it gets the smells, the sounds, the aura of non-league. So what's your story with non-league?
Well, thank you for that lead. What's the great thing for me, to be honest with you, and you've touched on it, is that this does feel like it's quite a powerful piece. But I think sometimes, and probably Dave and Kev will agree, that sometimes the best projects are born out of just gathering a few people that are actually passionate about the project that they're writing about or drawing about or creating for. And actually that creative process is more natural because you're not having to force it. You're not having to say, oh, what's the angle on this? What's the angle on that? And if I'm honest, Kev had reached out when we chatted about the planning stage. He'd sent some photos that JJ had taken and just said, oh, can you give us a few strap lines, just little one-liners or two-liners or whatever? And seeing those photos just my brain just started to fizz and fly because the images are so powerful. It's a cliche, isn't it? Like they paint a thousand words, but in a strange way, I was almost trying to write less than write more. And maybe it's the condensed version which resonates with yourself and hopefully with other people, because the image is really, really, it's almost like the images were shot for the words and the words were shot for the images. But it was a natural writing process because I, as I mentioned in my intro, I stepped away from Premier League football after 32 years. And that was tough. That was, you know, I was known as an Arsenal fan, and I've had some incredible times with that club. I've cycled to Amsterdam with Alan Smuzzer-Smith, you know, three times, and we get on well. And I count him as a friend. And I've had amazing things through charity stuff with other players. But I stepped away from them when they announced Super League. Mm. Yeah, that was it. I cut my membership card the next day. But I'd already done a charity event for Prostate Cancer UK at Whitehawk. And just getting into the ground the first time, turning around and seeing the food sign and seeing that there was a 10 sausage meal available, I just thought, what is this? Which human is ever going to go, I'll have the 10 sausage meal, please? What is going on? And then obviously I met Marion. Yeah, and then I chatted to the mascot at halftime, the lady in the lobster suit. I'm like, hello, I didn't know you had a mascot. And she looked at me, she almost dead-eyed me through the gauze of the costume. She's like, we don't. And I'm like, what, say? And she's like, I like dressing as a lobster on a Saturday. And I just thought, that's it, I'm done. This is me. This is my club, right? Because it's the characters, it's the energy, it's the stories that you're surrounded by, the samba band, the music, the things that I reference in the piece. And it's just an incredibly powerful, brilliant thing. And the thing that resonates with me, and I'll stop waffling in a minute, sorry, I'm a chatter, but the key line for me in that piece is that there's a perception that, you know, about people having less. And obviously we know the branding of Whitehawk over the years, over the decades, right? So for me, that line in the piece, there's that perception. But for me, I walked in, it's those that have less always give more. Yeah, you're going to walk past the food bank donation. You're going to walk past Prostate Cancer UK raising money. Everyone's going to be dipping into their pockets to help people they've never met before. And then they're going to watch the football. And I just, that community spirit and that spirit of collective willpower to do good and improve things, it just runs through every blade of grass on that pitch. It's just a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, I mean, let's bring in Kevin, because there's some people who, when they tag me on social media or ping me a message, there's almost like a sense of trepidation that waves over me. You know, it's like when you send me a message, and the alert normally comes up on my watch, and I sort of then rush to find my phone to see what it is, because it's always exciting. It's always different. And I've been, you're changing the game. You've been involved. I've been involved in this game for, what, we're celebrating 25 years in the non-league paper, and I've been writing about non-league since way before then as well, so 30-odd years. I'm praising the other guys on the call, but for me, I have to praise you as well, because you've played a big part in the way the game's changed in those 30 years. It's changed massively, and sometimes not for the better, but for the majority, the experience of non-league is better for fans. And it's you guys down at Whitehall that have pretty much been setting the stall out and saying, come and follow us.
I suppose for me, and I've been in football for 20 years, and 10 years of that was in the top end of Premier League. And, you know, it's working with two clubs that went from the Championship to the Premier League. I'd been to FA Cup semi-finals, working in commercial teams, very structured. And very kind of ordered, and the way of doing things. Yes, there are characters up there, and they're great, and some of them have been there for 20, 30 years or so. But it was only when I got back to Brighton and started working at Lewis, and, you know, they were doing things like beach huts and the posters, and it kind of freed that creativity. It's like, well, yeah, you can do these things, and you can have fun with it. And I remember, and on the day there, there was 35 guys from Sutton, I think, turned up with Sid James masks on. And I thought, well, this would never happen in Watford on a cold Tuesday in January. So it was one of those things. And of course, when I moved to Whitehawk, and the vibrancy and the atmosphere of the the region of East Brighton and East Brighton itself and the whole city, it kind of lended itself. And then you saw the steps that are now famous, you know, love, peace, no racism, no violence, no sexism, no homophobia. And it's like, well, let's embrace that, you know. Let's get more people in and show people that you can all work together, you can all come together. We're all there to watch the game, so why not embrace it and have some fun with it along the way? And all the things that we've done with other creative people and, you know, the guys here and JJ and so many others that have tried to help to make the club what it is. And, you know, you end up with campaigns like this. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to bring more people to the club. You know, they're, you know, hopefully next year is our 80th anniversary, so we'll have some things going on there. And, you know, we'll be getting away a home fixture again next year, and we'll do the same thing again for Non-League Day. And I believe that when David arrived, when he was doing his prostate cancer charity that day, that was a Non-League Day as well. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. We're just trying to make people aware that, you know, it's like David said, it's football, but it's football that's more free. It's got freedom around it. It's got more of a kind of a way in which you can change at half time, drink beer on the terrace, and have some fun and enjoy, you know. And so I think at the top end, it's missing a bit now, and that's what we're trying to let people sort of experience.
When I talk to people as well, I, you know, the time that I was at Hayes and Yelling, we spent in the top tier in the National League. I didn't enjoy it because I wasn't able to change ends and speak to people at half time and sort of have that little bit of chat and banter. And you're in a different bar. It was back to that clinical football that you get at the higher end. You know, changing ends when you're playing Whitehawk takes you normally to about the 80th minute, because by the time you got back up to the other end of the goal, most of the second half's disappeared. But yeah, you've told us about where you want to go, but we are here as fans, football fans, and that sort of thing. It's not all about the table, but the Whitehall project is wider than just the first team. Tell us more about some of the other community stuff you've got going on.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got a women's team that are doing pretty well now, and they're becoming a bit more established. The youth section is growing. You know, there are plans to expand and build a better Whitehawk in the future. Can't say too much about that right now, but there's things going on that create that community and make people more welcoming, and we'll try and include the community. I mean, on Saturday, not only have we got the ticket, we've got and the ticket to go through, we've also got David's other pet project, I suppose, the Partick Thistle mascot Kingsley, who's coming down as a special guest. But we've also got the food bank, and we've got a stall for Stand Up to Racism. We've got the East Brighton Food Network are doing what they call a smoothie bike, which they've converted an exercise bike to put a mixer on, and the kids put their strawberries in the mixer and get on the bike and create their own smoothies. But we've even got things like the Eastern Central Brighton Primary Care Network who are coming down to do heart monitors and you know, give out anti-smoking advice and things like that. And, you know, it was almost like it's an opportunity for people who perhaps might not want to get to the doctor, who can't go to the doctors, but they love their football. So why not come down and bring it to them rather than them having to fret and worry about going to a doctor's in case they might hear something terrible? Why don't you just take that to the game and the place that they love and feel more secure at, and then do it there? So yeah, we'll have the music, we'll have everything going on, and I'm sure it's happening right across the country with Non-League Day. And, you know, it's such a brilliant place to, you know, sort of embrace non-league footballs in general, and we try to do that at Whitehawk, and I'm sure lots of other clubs do as well.
Yeah, and away from the show, away from football, I talk a lot about the relationship of trust. Is the only way to build business is you need that element of trust. David S, you mentioned it there, that it's maybe not something football's maybe not something you talk about in your usual circles. Non-league football, is that sort of different from the Premier League, so it's easier to talk about?
I think it is. I think one of the great things about coming to Whitehawk is that a lot of my friends who I met through coming to the games didn't really like football. Their introduction to football in general has been at Whitehawk. So, you know, there's a certain snobbery about when football fans who've been, probably us, I suppose, who've been football fans since we were little kids and, you know, remember going to football matches in the 1970s and whatever, when it wasn't very pleasant. There's a tendency to kind of look down on people who are newbies, you know, to the world of football. But there's something really beautiful about a lot of the fan base who come to Whitehawk, whose only experience of football is at Whitehawk. Mm. And there's something really, really, really nice about that. And I like the fact that, you know, I can't have the nerdy conversations about football with them. You know, I can only talk about Whitehawk. So it's a great leveler. And I think inclusivity, that's kind of part of the inclusivity, but it's not necessarily the type of inclusivity one immediately thinks of. And I think that's a beautiful thing about Whitehawk. And you get these, as David was saying, you get these characters, people who come down and perform a service just because they just decided they want to, like mascots, or Ryan, who does the Hawkeye video social media project, which is really, really great. Ryan's a really, really interesting guy and got so much energy for his project, which is worth checking out. And JJ Waller, who's, I guess he was commissioned to take photographs at Whitehawk, but he's just 10 years ago, but he's just been around ever since. I kind of assume that he must be just taking, well, he is taking pictures of the same people every week, which is kind of more the crowd than the actual football match. But JJ nonetheless is constantly making pictures. And then we have our Ryan, our new videographer. So it's like you can be, have your portrait taken every week and be interviewed almost every week, because it seems like Ryan's, he must be running out of people to interview. He must have interviewed every single fan we've got, because he does about, he posts like 2 videos a day. So we need more people so that Ryan can interview more, really.
He's going to do the dogs next.
Yes.
there's still a YouTube channel waiting to be creative for non-league dogs. You know, they've got their own Twitter account. They need to go. Does the football then, you know, like, I'm looking at the Isthmian League table there. Does it, are you, I take it, you're like me, you know, you don't like losing, but it's not the end of the day. You're the sort of kind of supporters, you're there for the experience, you're there for the non-league family, for the embracing that. But every now and then, do you glance on a Saturday evening, Sunday morning at the table and go, oh, I wish we'd had a better season?
I look at it constantly. I'm on Flash Score all the time.
No, you aren't showing your nerdy side.
When we were in the league below, in the second tier of the Isthmian League, you can't be on Flash Score then, so you couldn't see the table. So you don't get the score updates, because I don't think Flash Score updated, other services of that nature are available, I should say. But yeah, so I'm looking at it constantly. And I want the details, and I want to win, and I want us to get promoted and have an FA Cup run and win the Sussex Cup and then everything else that's available.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, you know, you see people that are in groups, the match is on, it might be a second half, it might be 1-0, 2-0, it depends on, it doesn't really matter what the score is, because there's 3 or 4 people just with their pints just chatting away. They're not watching the game. They're just there, you know, sort of catching up, you know, and just catching up on what they've done that week, or, you know, every 2 weeks they meet up and just have a chat. And that's the beauty in non-league. Yes, there are people who you know, are desperate and want to know the score and right involved in everything and screaming and shouting and getting involved, but there are other people who just want to come and have a catch up, you know. And I think, we've had it's been a tough old season. And I hope that we can finish it on a high and end up mid-table and build for next season. But yeah, you know, the ambitions of the club are always to go forward. Like you said, Tim, you know, going up to National League and having to change the bar arrangements and the changing of the ends might be a bit of a shock. But, you know, if we're up at that level, then obviously we must be doing something well.
Well, you've always embraced everything that's come towards you. But before I let all of you go, you're probably going to sing some songs, drink some beer and just generally have fun on Saturday. I'll let you have Sunday off, but Monday, is that a planning meeting for next year's non-league day?
We'll have a little wash up, I suppose, and work out, you know, what went right, what went wrong, et cetera, and then we'll start planning. Actually, we'll be start planning for the 80th anniversary, which is next year. So that'll be a good one to do, and then we'll wait for the fixtures to come out. And if we're not at home for non-league day next year, we might have a little word with the league. No, I'm only joking. if we're not, we'll take our non-league day to whoever we're playing away.
I've got carnival floats already in my head.
double-decker bus, I'm thinking already.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Let everybody know where they can find out more about Whitehawk on socials, yourselves as well. Follow yourselves and find out all the other work that the two Davids are doing as well.
Yeah, well, to get tickets, it's whitehawkfc.com. You can click on the ticket line, or you can read the story that we put up about the tickets. You can actually buy tickets off David's site as well if you can't get to the game and you just want a souvenir of the game. Then you can go to David's site and davidshugley.com, and you can pick up a ticket there as well. David's on Instagram. David, if you want to mention David A, do you want to mention your Instagram?
Yeah, it's a nice, easy one because it's my name. It's just David Attree. So if anyone wants to see what else is going on, I twirl a few creative plates. So I do something for BBC Radio on a Sunday on the breakfast show on there, and there's little clips and bits and bobs. But yeah, you'll see a little Whitehawk thread running through my Instagram. But yeah, I'm on there.
Yeah, and if you want to see the video, just go to Whitehawk FC on YouTube, and it's up there now. And share it. You know, share it around. It's meant for non-league day, and there'll be hundreds of, and there'll be thousands of people watching football on Saturday, not watching Premier League, and enjoying their own community community games.
David, Kevin, thanks for joining us on the non-league football show. Enjoy.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
It's time of the week then to head on over to a non-league paper towers. Time to welcome back editor at large at the non-league paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm sunshiny today. Feeling sunshiny. It makes a difference to the people you meet, doesn't it? Suddenly everybody's smiling. The problem is everybody's out as well, I find.
Everybody's out, everybody's about. And yeah, it's just sort of, it's nice that we're getting a little bit of warmth to finish the season strong. We're down to these last remaining weeks now, aren't we? And titles can start being won from maybe this weekend, and relegations have already been confirmed. We're on the final bend now, mate.
We're on the final bend, and what a weekend as well, because really we should start with non-league day, since it's the one day of the year that the rest of football in this country, if not the world, get a bigger chance to engage with our game. It looks like, certainly where I'm going to be, it's going to be sunshiny. I probably won't get the legs out with the shorts. We heard from James Doe, founder of the whole thing, last week. We've heard from Whitehawk, who once again have come up with some innovative ways of making the day special for those who are going to join them down there. Is there any end to the innovation of non-league fans on non-league day?
I don't think so. I think, I've spoken to James about this before as well, and he's kind of says that same thing. Yeah, it's always amazing how clubs come up with different ideas and different ways of doing things each time. And obviously, there's leagues getting involved as well. This with the Essex Senior League doing their ground hop that starts on Friday night as well. So
who would have known you need a passport in Essex nowadays? Don't
you need a passport to get around Essex. Absolutely, you do, mate. And it's quite a cheap one as well compared to the actual passports I've just forked out for. So, not bad for £30 for
even that innovation, we've ground hops are nothing new. I was reporting on ground hops when I was 19, first writing about non-league football. But this year, even the ground hops seem different.
They do. It's amazing, as you say, that all these years on from this great idea by James, there's, you know, lots of different things happening, and there's retro shirt days and things like that, all sorts of weird and wonderful things going on. I don't think there's any ferret racing this year. We've had that before in the past, haven't we? But
I did see Mum's getting half price somewhere. I think was that Grays maybe offering because it's Mother's Day coming up. They've sort of brought Mother's Day forward a week early and offering some reduced entry for your mums. This sounds a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And there's a St. Patrick's Day celebration at Ascot as well, isn't there? And sort of a slightly cheaper Guinness, which I'm sure will be in good demand at the bar there. Obviously, they're playing Farnham and flying high in that division. Ascot going well themselves as well. So, yeah, there's lots going on. And I think that's the nice thing about it is, you know, right from step one all the way down through the pyramid, there's things happening. It's just this a great weekend to really shine the light on non-league football. And so it's coming in international weekend. England are playing Friday night as well, aren't they? So that doesn't even, you know, doesn't clash either. So there's no excuse for people to get out. And, you know, obviously people listen to this, you know, pretty well versed in non-league football and going down and watching it. So it's trying to get down the friend who doesn't necessarily go to their local non-league club, and there's, you know, whether they've got a season ticket at a Premier League or Championship club or just kind of haven't got into it, you know, take them down and show them what it's all about. And yeah, I'm sure like all of us, the bug will be biting a lot of people this weekend.
It's interesting what you say, because we have got those two England games this weekend. Was it Friday evening and Monday evening as well? But talking to people that aren't non-league fans, and they're almost distressed that there's not the football that they maybe, EFL or the Premier League, that they might watch. And the international game doesn't seem to be interesting to them. So they're going to go to a non-league club and going to engage with non-league, and hopefully we can capture. And I've always said, if every non-league club could have, you know, a Premier League or an EFL club fan as their, if they were the second club of that fan, we'd have a much better game.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's as we've so often said, you know, people going in through the gate and feeling part of something. And I think, you know, there will be some first timers this weekend, and I'm sure there's people who've been going for years to their clubs now who their first introduction to non-league was through non-league day. So there's plenty more people out there who haven't seen this level of the game, and they can come in and see and keep coming back, and, you know, see, coexist alongside your Premier League team. You know, it's not, I think James has always been quite clear, this isn't a protest against Premier League. And obviously the Premier League are getting involved themselves and doing lots of good things in the Premier League trophies going around the Essex Senior Groundhop as well, isn't it? So, yeah, isn't the protest against non-league, but, you know, they can sort of coexist in a way. Sort of, obviously the demands of broadcast and everything these days, not a lot of clubs don't play many Saturdays at 3 o'clock. So, you know, you can still get out and get your fix and watch your side all through the season on a Sunday and a Monday night whenever they're playing if you're a Premier League fan. But, you know, there's always a non-league game, you know, really on your doorstep every single week, and, you know, that's the beauty of it. And it's not just about, you know, being having a second team as well. You know, for some people, their non-league team is their team, and they're just as passionate about that, and care just as much, and put in as much time and hours as fans of the so-called top clubs in the country. You know, it's no different. We're all kind of fans. We all love our club for whatever reasons, even though sometimes we wish we didn't support a club because of the stress they put you through. But that's kind of what it's all about as well.
Yeah, and there'll be, you know, plenty of parties up and down the country. I think you mentioned last week the Altrincham Barnet game with the 5:30 PM kickoff, but I think, you know, festivities kick off in the morning at Altrincham and will go on late on into the evening there. I see Beverley Town, another club, unveiling a new stand this weekend at the Grove Park end of their Norwood Park ground. I think an additional 50 seats, 100 standing there, but it's a day of bouncy castles, face paint. Yes, competitions. There's former pro boxer Tommy Gale, I believe, opening the stand that's planned there. That is going to be the sort of carnival atmosphere at grounds up and down the land. And it should be a bumper day for the clubs. It's something I've debated with others this week, is whether we should have more than one non-league day per season. And he does work so well, but I'll tell you where I am. I don't think we should, because I think it just works well, that once in the season, and the timing, the March date, possibly what's better than the old October date, because all of these games that are being played this weekend pretty much have got something on them in terms of promotion and relegation, and hopefully that engages sort of these new fans, re-engages old fans, and makes the day better out for everybody.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. You say there's every game's kind of looking through them this week, feels like it's got something on it in some form, or it's at the top or bottom, or some, a lot of games seem this week seem to be top and bottom playing against each other, and yeah, that all helps as well, because, you know, that's the, obviously people go in and have that, say, bouncy castles and face paints and all that kind of, you know, fun stuff, but that's not, they're going to be there every week. It's not going to be realistic to kind of clubs to have that every single home game. And the football and the feel is what's also going to get people back in. And I think people are, you know, sometimes you haven't been to non-league, are quite surprised at how competitive the games are, how, you know, how good sort of technically and tactically they are these days. And, you know, so a few weeks ago, the sort of stereotypes around non-league don't, you know, maybe people used to have don't really exist anymore. That's ultimately what you also want to see as well, isn't it? You know, really good, enjoyable game of football where there is something on the line, where it matters, where you can see, you know, how hard the players are trying to get those 3 points, and that it means something as well. So I think it is good for non-league to have this sort of big sort of spotlight that comes on it. It's great that, you know, so many eyes, you know, in this country, you know, turn to it, and it's talked about all over sort of TV and big national sort of media as well. But also, I think it was, yeah, seeing the effects of the internet and how sort of smaller the world's getting as well, you know, that it is kind of going abroad, and, you know, people from overseas are seeing it as well and getting involved. And obviously there's the Bilbao sort of link up that's kind of been happening over the last couple of years with James obviously going out there, and they're getting involved this year with the shirts that they're giving to a few clubs. You also play in red and white to sort of raffle off as well. So yeah, it's going to be a big sort of celebration, and you know, hopefully showing all that's good about this level of the game.
Yeah, as I say, yeah, most games have got something resting on them, but it is a time of the season when, you know, it's about promotion and relegation. And last weekend, defeat meant relegation for Blyth Spartans from the Northern Premier League. Premier this week, more local to you, I get the Thurlow Nun Premier, Long Melford, and I think Sheringham both had their fates determined. They're going to finish bottom two in their relegation spots. I know there's going to be some banter between fans, or they call it banter, but I think most non-league fans feel for those suffering relegation, don't they? Because we all know that one day it's likely to be us.
Yeah, and often it has been as well. That's, you know, that's the thing with football, is that only at the end of the season there's only a couple of teams who are happy really throughout the whole league. You know, I know there's sort of, you know, sometimes survival and that sort of thing, but, you know, sometimes to get to that sort of, enjoy those survival moments at the end, you've had to have some pretty difficult afternoons to sort of be in that position in the first place. And you know there are some clubs who just, you know, staying up and survive, you know, mid-table safety and the sort of the boring end of the season is something to be enjoyed as well. But yeah, ultimately the sort of the real success of promotion is only going to a couple of clubs in each division, and that's you know, that's what everyone's been sort of striving towards. It's all ahead of most people. Obviously there can be some winners this weekend. Macclesfield are so close. I think Corn can potentially win it this weekend as well. NK Irish at step 5 are sort of on the brink, and there's some clubs at step 6 getting close as well. So yeah, it's the other end is sort of the other side of it, and, you know, that's the that's kind of the difficult, isn't it, when you've had to watch your team all the way through, and you've got that hope that can they sort of somehow turn it around, get out of it, and sometimes you have to just accept that fate. But that can be a new beginning as well for clubs, you know, can't it? You know, sometimes going down and taking stock and coming back, rebuilding and coming back is the best way. It's trying to sort of stop that negativity and that slide and trying to not tumble through divisions, which you're saying there about Blyth Spartans has been sort of a bit of a problem the last couple of years for them.
Yeah. And again, another debate on the Fuel radar this week. All the pyramid restructures, the changing size of divisions, I think now we've got it about right in a pyramid. It'll always be, again, the people that, that disagree, but you only have to look up and down at the various divisions. There are very few teams now cruising to mid-table obscurity, even with just over, a month or so to go in the season. And I think too many more in a division, that wouldn't be the case, and fewer, then I think you get that bizarre feeling I've always had about the Scottish Premiership. Fewer clubs means you know them too well, and the competition element is effective negatively. It's a, you know, non-league's got it right again.
Yeah, I think it's getting that balance, isn't it, and trying to be as consistent as possible, which obviously the FA have been, you know, trying to do in the recent years. It's kind of taken a bit of getting to, and there's, you know, there's always going to be sort of slight quirks in there, isn't there, and issues are going to need to be ironed out. But I think the playoffs coming in now at step 5 and 6 sort of obviously happened last year. That's really kind of sort of breathed new life into those divisions as well. You know, often it was. By the end of October, we've had a bit of a tricky start and lost sort of 6 games. That's kind of almost the title over, and that was promotion over. Whereas, and that's not good for any league. You want to keep people interested, people coming through the gates, because as you say, there's things on games, and there's that, you know, that hope that things can success can be had. So it is there's been a lot of sort of change, isn't there, in recent years, and especially the divisions at the levels and teams, and it's kind of a real different landscape as it has, you know, from not all that long ago, but it's getting that flow through the pyramid, which is what the FA has kind of always spoken about, and it's been so important. I think we're sort of seeing that now, and there is that sort of, you know, promotions and relegations and flow, and no sort of bottlenecks that have been sort of causing issues quite a few years ago, particularly sort of step 5, weren't they, where it wasn't sort of mandatory promotion and stuff like that. So obviously there's a bottleneck at the top of the National League going to the EFL, but that's one that's you know, been going on for a long time as well. So yeah, I think it's, like I say, getting that balance right and keeping all the divisions as competitive as possible is key. There's always going to be issues, but it's never going to be perfect, but it feels like it's in a good place at the moment.
Yeah, I remember when I first started reporting about the non-league game, we spoke about a pyramid, but it was a mishmash. It was a real mishmash. I can't say that I remember who's in what division or even what league nowadays off the top of my head without looking it up. But it's a lot easier to understand, I think. And again, when we're trying to get new people involved, that's always a good thing. The big news elsewhere, Kieran Maguire, the financial football journalist, is probably best described, commenting on the loss made by Withershaw Town in their 2023-24 accounts. That's the season that they beat Bury in the playoff final. That season they lost, or in the accounts, they lost over £200,000 with £350,000 of director's loans, basically propping that up, cited in the accounts. There's been lots of uproar from some, but unfortunately, I expect that those sort of accounts are probably the majority, not the minority, of clubs at non-league level, and probably even higher.
I think, yeah, there's the, you say, sort of eye-watering sort of sums at all levels, isn't there? And in all businesses, and it unfortunately sort of, you know, kind of seems to be, you know, the way of, you know, how you progress, isn't it? And in a lot of cases, and it is a... you know, money is so key, and at all levels, and that's, you know, people have different opinions on that, and yeah, so it's a tricky one, and that's sort of kind of the financial stuff is, you know, I find it quite difficult to sort of get my head around sometimes, but yeah, it is sort of interesting when you sort of see those.
I spent my early days as a journalist sitting in libraries and looking at microfiche on accounts. I don't know why. I've since got out and sort of developed a social life. But I think it's important for people to understand, though, is that the clubs don't all have to run the same way. They do need to run as a successful and sustainable business, and that's something that I've always advocated. But, yeah, even many businesses beyond football, on the back of COVID, they're probably supported by directors' loans. And realistically, we probably have to accept that some element of that is needed for the pyramid structure to actually work and sort of give clubs some dreams. Because promotion needs infrastructure, both on and off the field. It's never cheap, certainly never free. There aren't the grants out there, and there aren't unconditional sponsorships either. I mean, they all tend to come with some sort of caveat, and normally that is a director's loan. You know, football isn't any different from, I guess, a manufacturing industry. I mean, even countries as well. Yeah, you look at the USA's negotiations, go political now, negotiations with Ukraine over their mineral deposits. Yeah, it's not perfect, but if we wanted perfect, we probably wouldn't be football fans, would we?
Yeah, and I think it's a money-driven thing, that sort of purity of kind of sort of amateur football, you know, everyone kind of doing it on a level playing field just doesn't exist. It's not the way football's been built in this country, you know, and it's sort of, you know, I've said it, you know, many times before, you know, sort of seeing those clubs who are really struggling hard up and then suddenly you get some money and then everyone sort of hates them because, you know, somebody's, and it's difficult, isn't it? Because if someone wants to come along and put their money in, you know, what, there's nothing kind of stopping them essentially. You know, if we say you're going to win the Euro Millions, you think, oh, I'm going to stick millions of pounds in my local club, then, you know, that's kind of your
thing.
Unless that's
I've had those conversations with
hundreds
of people over the years at the bar, over a beer. If you won the lottery, yeah, you'd put all your money in your football club, but then you'd be one of those people that you despise at another club that does that.
Yeah, and also, you know, you're not putting money in to get it back either. Yeah, no. Non-league football as well, it's kind of just been poor, you know. All through football, I don't really know what the answer is, because it's going to be, as you say, all through the levels. You see it right at the top and how clubs are, you know, leverage and all the way they're sort of running, getting through. And it is, yeah, it's kind of that sort of, you know, side underneath that we kind of try, you know, it's sort of tempting to kind of like ignore, isn't it, sometimes and not think about. But, you know, there's been more sort of financial regulations and stuff coming in and all that, but it's just, you know, I think it's kind of always been the case that money talks throughout. And as you say, you know, sometimes a lot of money has to go in for investment to make things better, to get people in, and that doesn't, you know, doesn't happen just by sort of pure love and dedication of volunteers and all that kind of thing. Sometimes it is hard cash that, you know, needs to go into infrastructures and into clubs to move them on and to get them into positions where they can progress as well. It's, you know, it's the clubs where they're throwing the money at it and then not able to sort of pay bills or putting out crowdfunders and all that sort of stuff. When, you know, that's the big issue when, yeah, people are spending money they don't have.
Yeah.
And, you know, knocking people for money when things get tough and all that kind of thing. Yeah, that's the sort of the, you know, the really sort of side that doesn't give non-league a good name.
Yeah, yeah, it's the moral side. And I know, yeah, some people's morals take them beyond that sort of, you know, I guess a capitalist model, they'd say, wouldn't they? But, there's a man talking that's got a garage full of ideas that are just stacked up that I'd love to be able to make bring to fruition, but they all need money. You can't. Whether it's a football club, whether it's, you know, whether we want to improve the non-league football show, improve the non-league paper, you need money. And in football, sometimes you find people that have got pockets and spare money that they want to invest in a football club, knowing that they're never going to get it back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, money is everything, and it's kind of it's almost become hard now, isn't it? In some ways, when maybe it's a social sort of media thing, but yeah, if someone's doing well, you know, like Macclesfield win the league this week, let's say they win the league this weekend, or if it's next weekend, people will talk about money because that's what they will, you know, that's one of the things that will be thrown at them. And you know, it wasn't all that long ago that they were getting promoted as Macclesfield Town, and the players were on the bus outside. I remember coming out of Eastleigh the day they won it, singing Macca going up with a tenner in the bank and all that kind of thing. And it was, you know, people were kind of sort of feeling sorry for him. Now they're a new club, and they, you know, they're viewed to as having money. Obviously, you know, lots of a huge amount of investment's gone into that ground and what they've done. Now the 3G pitch, and that obviously brings in revenue as well. But you know, that's something that gets sort of thrown at teams. And the same with, you know, with Wrexham a few years ago, they were the club who were sort of going up against the new money and all that kind of thing, and going up against the Salfords and the Fleetwoods of this world, and struggling to get promoted. And then they had money, and then they've gone to where they are. And you know, it's it is yeah, it's kind of sort of feels in this world that is a difficult kind of just enjoy a football match, enjoy a result, enjoy the performance, and then not have to think about all the kind of sort of the moral sort of stuff around it. And yeah, that's kind of one of the things around football that
trying to avoid.
You don't like, yeah. It makes you feel a bit funny, mate. Yeah.
It's been a blessing for me being out of a football club without all that politics going on. I have to say, it makes my head a little bit lighter. Things change, though, don't you? Things do change in football, and we spoke about trends of managers, resigning before the end of the season or giving a heads up that they're going to be leaving at the end of the season. And one of the things I'm seeing is, I've been involved with a football club that merged two clubs coming together. We had a set of mergers. Hayes and Yedding merged the same year that Solihull Moors became a club from merged Solihull and Moor Green, and different ends of the spectrum they've ended up at. But there was a spate of mergers of clubs coming together, sharing resources, and I sense that we're maybe moving towards a new era of that as well. We've seen this week there's a big debate around the Shea Stadium, home of FC Halifax Town. This week the council, I think, have accepted the plans for Huddersfield Giants Rugby League club owner Ken Davey, who's going to basically take on the stadium, the ground already also used by Halifax Panthers Rugby League Club. So there are some fears over whether the EFL rules on only two clubs sharing and whether that may see FC Halifax Town ineligible for the playoffs, like we saw with Gateshead last term. Again, lots of debate and needs an answer quickly on that one. But I do sense that maybe clubs all coming together and sharing one resource, one ground. We see ground shares. Clubs like Avely have got the potential to host back-to-back games because they've got four change rooms on a 3G pitch. It makes sense to bring everything together, doesn't it? And clubs to share. So it's not just every other Saturday that the ground's being used on the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, I think it's kind of been, we've seen it throughout. And if it can work, then it can be a good thing. I think AC Milan and Inter ground share one of the biggest clubs in
and they hate European each other, but they love each other.
They hate each other, but they kind of get it done. And sometimes, some of these facilities, it's a responsibility, isn't it, to the sort of the community as well, and sort of that sort of financial sort of side of it. And if it can work and people still feel like it's their home and all that kind of stuff, then it can be it can be the way forward. And as you say, with the sort of club, these facilities now being used all year round, I think that's one of the key things. It's going to sort of sit there between end of April and July when pre-season sort of turns off. If you can be having the use for these facilities year round particularly for the community, then I think that's quite an important thing.
Yeah, we'll see what comes here. But on a similar lines this week, we've seen Willstone take a step nearer a new ground, a three-year exclusivity deal signed with Hillingdon Borough Council for effectively two sites very close together at the old Master Brewer site on the A40 at Hillingdon, with plans for a stadium and training facilities. And not too dissimilar to plans, Oldham Council have announced a 70 million sports town, which is going to incorporate Oldham Athletics Boundary Park, the rugby grounds. It's all partially funded by a recently retained government grant. There's an opportunity out there, and most clubs are probably having these sort of meetings, discussions, sending emails, but often we don't hear about it because obviously negotiations are better off done in secret before to get a better deal.
Yeah, and I think obviously, you say the often legality stuff around it as well, isn't there? And I think one of the tricky things is going back onto the grounds and sharing is that fans do like their own sort of home and feel like it's theirs and all that kind of thing, don't they? So that's what, sort of the other sort of flip side of it, I guess, and feeling like that's football's so sort of the rivalries and everything so sort of territorial that also sort of comes into it. But yeah, there's lots of things going on. So the ESC sort of Halifax thing, that is a very sort of big issue that does need to be sort of kind of answered somehow. around sort of, you know, whether it's now or down the line on promotion and the ground sharing and whether the EFL would accept that. And that's obviously a real concern for fans, and you can understand why. Mm. But, you know, things are also going to, you know, change potentially on that front. And if more clubs are kind of going that route, do the EFL sort of start looking at their rules? And things, I don't know. But, yeah, you know, it's, you say the big investments kind of coming in. There's obviously lots of, you know, government money that is often being used in some of these sort of developments and all that comes around it, and that's where it kind of comes back to they've obviously got their responsibility to communities as well. It can't just be because you know, I think what sort of Manchester United were talking about having a bit of help to build a new stadium. Well, it just work like that. It's kind of, you know, these things have got to be for the benefit of everyone, not just because someone wants a new ground kind of thing.
Yeah. Obviously, we'll probably see many more schemes as well in the coming months as well, because I think it is going to become the trend of clubs coming together, whether, you know, as a formal union or whether sort of, you know, effectively stronger than a ground share, more of a house share, maybe. Managerial merry-go-round, though, that's also always comes into play. I've had a busy week. Saturday in the Northern Premier League, we saw Bootle part company with Mike McGrath by mutual consent. Later in the week, unveiled, we've got the new holder of the post, Alan Morgan, who we mentioned last week because he was assistant to Jim Bentley, who obviously recently left Southport. He was also former assistant to McGrath at Bootle. So it's just quite often, sometimes it's who you know is the easiest option, I guess, for the clubs, and you can understand why as well.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of goes through kind of a lot of life as well, doesn't it? You know, people you know and who you trust, and yes, and that also again shows how fast football moves as well, how fast how quickly it can be moving. Yeah, one day you got a tracksuit, one club's tracksuit on, and then you've got to remember, next day you've got to remember to pick up a different one and get that on instead.
And on behalf of all the kit managers up and down the land, give those old tracksuits back.
Give them back or send them to the NLP offices so you've got some nice training gear for the summer. That'd be nice. But yeah, football just never stops, does it? There's always someone changing. It's so hard to keep up with sometimes, I can't. So normally at this time of year, we start realizing, oh, I didn't realise he was there and all that sort of stuff. It's
yesteryears for me this week, because also over the weekend we saw Rod Stringer and Welling Park on mutual terms, a club, 22nd in the league and looking destined for relegation, really. But I see Brian Statham is the man coming in as the caretaker there, and I remember him being assistant at the club to Paul Parker, and I think that was about 20 years ago.
I sort of vaguely remember that as well. I mean, yeah, you're going back probably even further than that, I think. That's the biggest problem. Well, probably getting old is I can't remember everything now. I used to be able to sort of reel off all the vars and the trophy winners and things. I can't remember what happened what year now. I have to sort of I have to always be looking back and checking. I can't do it off the top of my head anymore, but maybe that's more of an age thing for me.
Yeah, you've already earned your non-league Spurs. You're fine there. A couple of other movements in the managerial stakes. Matt Locktown and Ryan Cresswell parted company by mutual consent. Gary Forrest resigned at West Auckland Town, and James Jepson and Gresley Rovers parted company. And Michael Death's time had come at Shoreham this week too. It's going to be a busy weekend. We've got non-league day. I already mentioned the big game at the top of the National League, Altrincham Barnet, and the 5:30 TV kickoff. You're going to have a trouble trying to squeeze this all into the paper, aren't you? Anything else we can expect in this weekend's non-league paper?
Well, yes, major space issues are the current concern of trying to get it all in. The other concern is John Couch is sunning himself somewhere.
I'm not sure he's concerned.
The weekend also, so he's forgotten about me already. But no, there's lots going on, and kind of talking about, you know, age and getting on. it's 25 years of the first edition of the NLP next Wednesday, actually. Incredibly
making me feel very old now.
That sort of time, that time has sort of flown by, and there's people out there who do have every, you know, issue one right through. And we're kind of taking a little peek back at the results of that weekend, seeing who was doing well, non-league's top flight, and what the results were, who scored, and where some of those teams have gone on to, and maybe a little bit of trivia of the player who scored that day, who's still playing now in the non-league system. So, maybe a little teaser for you there. Who's that player who scored that day 25 years ago, but still going and still even scoring in non-league. So, I'll leave that one there. But yes, a little special celebration there. So we're looking ahead to the Isuzu FA Vars semi-finals are coming up. So we've got previews of there. We were obviously celebrating Dan Burns' rise from Blythe Spartans and Darlington to League Cup winner at Wembley of Newcastle at the weekend, and then now England, and potentially a debut Friday evening and Monday. Obviously, we've got two opportunities, but another fine example of someone who's come through from non-league and taken that route, and it's obviously taken them a fair while to kind of get to the England recognition. But fantastic story there that he's now getting that honour, after all these years of really sort of plugging away and coming, as I say, from that non-league route and into the game that way, not sort of the traditional sort of academy route, so to speak. So we've got that situation. Our friends at Prostate Cancer have set us up again with Jeff Stellan, who's talking about a bit about Hartlepool and three up, and also non-league day and kind of why he sees the non-league being so special, and all the big action as well from Saturday. And also worth mentioning that the National Game Awards we've launched those as well. So we're starting to tease out, get your thinking caps on, who you think your community club of the year should be, who your fan of the year might be, that sort of fan at your club who goes beyond, what even some of the most ardent of fans do. There's always some who do even more and are travelling all over the country or all around and giving out extra hours to help their club. So get your thinking caps on for those, and have a look at the other awards that are coming up and start getting your nominations in.
A very worthy award. Mine's still got pride of place on the sideboard
there. You've won one now, Tim. That's it now, mate. Yeah. You've had it now. You don't even get an invite this year.
I'm not sure that's the reason I don't get an invite, but anyway, that's another story.
We'll squeeze you in. You have to do the dishes though. After, help us do the washing up afterwards.
My knees may be gone, but my hands are still good with as long as
there we go. Yeah. We'll find you a chair, mate. Yeah. We'll find you a chair in front of the sink. Don't worry.
It's a great weekend. It's a great. It's going to be a great Sunday morning. I believe the Sunday the sun might be shining. I might enjoy the non-league paper outside this weekend. But Matt Backcock,
this is what we want all the pictures of people outside sitting in the garden. Sitting out in the park with your paper and your coffee, and if you're a Macclesfield fan, possibly a glass of bubbly as well.
Matt Backcock, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tim.
And then that is it for this week. Before I go, some bumper crowds expected this weekend, being non-league day, but I wanted to pluck this stat shared by @NonLeagueCrowds on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. At step 6 of the non-league pyramid, we have already seen 3 attendances of over 1,000 people this season. There's 1,184 at Drawsden and Darwin, 1,183 Nuneaton Griff against Nuneaton Town, and 1,004 at Retford United against Retford. The game at every level of the non-league game is blooming. Hopefully this week we'll see a second episode of Dave Anderson and the non-league gaffer tapes. Keep an eye and ear out for that. And of course, you can get involved on social media @NonLeagueShow and myself there @TimFuell, FUELL. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Castbox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, have a fantastic non-league day. Thank you and goodbye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.